These days, the term family values has become almost a code word for Christian culture in American society. There's influential Christian organizations that have names like Focus on the Family and Family Research Center, or to be exclusively Catholic, there's Catholic Family Land or the Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute, which is more commonly known simply as CFAM. The natural family unit, based on a husband and a wife who have come together to make an exclusive, permanent, and public commitment to share a common life and to raise children together, has been under such political and social pressure that at times we almost identify the Christianity as a social movement meant to promote, protect, and defend family life. And therefore, in this context, today's Sunday readings can be unsettling. Jesus says, I have come not to bring peace, but division. We could say, wait a second. Lord, aren't you the Prince of Peace? He says, I have come to bring division and struggle within the family. Strife in the family unit caused by Jesus. How can this be? We could ask, does not the founder of Christianity know about family values? Certainly in this gospel, Jesus is reminding us that there is a commitment higher than the family. The commitment to God Himself. Oftentimes, the commitment to God and family are mutually supporting. We think of the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Perhaps a son would repent of his selfishness and turn to God. He would hear the fourth commandment and he would become a better son. He would be faithful to his commitment to his parents. Or likewise, we could read St. Paul, who says to husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And who says to fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. And therefore, a married man who repents and turns away from his sinful lifestyle, he turns to God, he will be instructed by St. Paul, and he will become a better husband, a better father. Oftentimes, the commitment to God and the commitment to family are mutually supporting. However, there are also occasions when the commitment to God and the specifically commitment to Jesus Christ is in conflict with the expectations that family members have on us. And the resulting conflict is difficult to bear. However, the truth of our faith, the truth of our call from God that He places on our life, these are not things that can be negotiated in order to avoid family discord or to try to ease friction. Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 10, He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. We need to think, where is our ultimate commitment? We know in the United States that there are about 6 million converts to Catholicism. And so many of them had to face verses like this in their lives as they came to that point on their spiritual journey when it dawned on them that they were called by God to enter into the Catholic Church and that their conversion would cause ripples, friction, discord within their family, especially amongst their perhaps non-Catholic family members. So many people, perhaps untold millions, have approached the Catholic Church and have learned all there is, and then they stop before making that profession of faith in the church. They stop before, as they say, swimming the Tiber, because they were not willing to provoke conflict within a family that may have been staunchly Protestant or traditionally Baptist or even anti-Catholic. Yet conversion to Christ and His church, in our American context, is nothing compared to the sufferings of those who have made that journey from Islam. We know what it means to convert to Christianity when you live in a Muslim country or an Islamic country. Yet the division within families over Christ is not just a past phenomenon, not just a distant phenomenon, but it is very real to so many people. It is a daily reality for so many members of our church. And therefore, it ought to be a daily reality for each of us as we share in the sufferings of our brothers and sisters. But we want to be real. Conflicts within families arise not only because one member of a family decides to convert to Jesus Christ inside his church. These conflicts it cause when there is any sort of conversion to the obedience of Christ. Obedience to Christ often causes conflict. How many young men and women have entered the priesthood or religious life despite the opposition of their parents? I remember when in 2008 Pope Benedict came to the United States and there was a meeting for seminarians and young religious and young people up at St. Joseph's Seminary in Yonkers in Dunwoody, which is basically Yonkers, New York. And all of us seminarians at St. Charles, we went up, and I and a fellow seminarian were walking across the grassy field to the gathering spot, and we ran into this family. And well, not really a family. Well, I don't know if it was a family or not, but there was a mother, and I'd say about 7 children. I doubt that they were all hers because of what she later is going to say, but maybe they were all hers, I don't know. But we started to be talking, and at one point she says, you know, God bless you two for answering God's call to the priesthood. And I said, well, thank you for your prayers. And turning to her and her children, I said, maybe one day one of your sons will also join me in the seminary. Maybe one of them has a vocation to the priesthood. And instantly, the words out of her mouth, God forbid. I was stopped dead in my tracks. She said that in front of her children. How could they now, maybe in 5-10 years, come to her and say, Mom, I have a vocation and I want to go into seminary. Or, Mom, I'm thinking about being a sister. They heard right out of her mouth, God forbid that you have a vocation. Or I remember once I was at a family's house, a good Christian family. They come to Mass every Sunday. And the topic of my vocation came up, and they asked, how did I know? When did I hear God's voice calling me to the priesthood? And I said, well, I think this is something that every young Catholic boy has to at least consider. At some point growing up, he's going to ask himself, am I called to be a priest? Maybe it's going to be in the mind for one moment and then dismissed. But everyone has to at least think about this. Every girl has to ask herself, maybe God wants me to be a sister. Not all of them are going to dwell on it, but everyone's going to think of this. And the mother says, oh, I don't think my daughters have ever thought of this. And the daughters are like, yes, we have. And she's looking at them. And the father says, let's move on to a new topic. What sort of conflict is there going to be in that family if one of those girls growing up continues to question if she has a vocation? Certainly we know, though, that conflict within families does not only occur when someone has that vocation to religious life or to the priesthood. Despite growing up in the very same household, different children often embrace or reject the faith to various degrees, leading to aggravation at family gatherings. Perhaps one family member is trying to, one sister is really living all of the church's teachings to their fullness, and she gathers with her family for vacation, and her other sisters are more selective in their approach to Christianity, rejecting those politically incorrect parts of the gospel. What happens when maybe it's over this past week, and on Thursday, and she says on Thursday, we need to go to Mass for the Assumption, and her family member's like, it's vacation, don't worry about it. Conflict. Or what about within even the very family unit itself? When one family member decides, we need to take the church's teaching very seriously, we need to stop using contraception, and the other spouse doesn't quite see the teachings of the church as true or as necessary to be followed. Certainly, all these forms of conflict need to be borne by the Christian in union with Christ, who suffered on the cross for us. Ultimately, Jesus teaches us that the family of God trumps the natural family. Jesus says in Luke's gospel earlier, My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. In hindsight, we can realize that salvation history is filled with familial conflict, especially conflict that has its origins in differing relationships with God. We can go right to the very beginning, Cain and Abel. Cain envied Abel because Abel had intimacy with God, and his sacrifice found favor in God's eyes. And so Cain killed his brother. We could go down through the generations, and we see that Jacob wanted the promises of the covenant, whereas Esau despised them. We can see Joseph's brothers who sought to kill their brother out of taking offense at his prophetic dreams, that God had found special favor in him. We see in Exodus, Moses' own brother and sister try to remove him from leadership because they too are jealous of his prophetic status. And on throughout the Old Testament, including today's first reading, the first reading from Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah, rejected by his people for his intimacy with God. Today's Sunday Gospel reminds us that as good as peace is, Jesus' primary mission is not to establish social peace in the world, not to bring social peace in this life. If that had been his mission, and so many people think that that was, then Jesus Christ would have failed, for there is not peace. Obviously, Jesus has not failed. He is God. And so we need to see what was his mission. What is his mission? It is the mission of redemption. It is the mission to reveal to those who desire it the narrow way that leads to salvation, the way that is he himself. There is a price that is too high to pay for peace. And that price is infidelity to Christ. So while it is good and proper to seek peace amongst nations, good and proper to make peace in our families, we cannot do so at the cost of infidelity. We must serve Jesus Christ. We need to work within our families to build cheerful Christian homes, domestic churches, as the church refers to them, that will be prepared to endure the strife and the conflict that may ensue when we are faithful to the path of truth. For we know that truth leads us on a path not merely to heaven, but it leads us to love itself in the person of God, in the person of Jesus Christ. And so St. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Hebrews, he says, do not despair, do not grow weary and lose heart when you are seeing this opposition. He reminds us, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. We need to turn to the example of the angels and the saints who are with us when we feel so alone in our conflict. Realize that we belong to the family of God. And that through the cross, through uniting our sufferings to Jesus Christ on the cross, which is brought up to God the Father, we are promised eternal joy, perpetual peace, a peace that this world cannot give, a peace that will last. St. Paul writes to the Hebrews, do not grow weary and lose heart, but look to the cross of Jesus Christ. For you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. My brothers and sisters, let us pray for the intercession of the angels and saints, that we may value obedience to God, our membership in the body of Christ, above any other membership, above any other bonds, even those which tie and grab at our hearts so deeply as the family, so that all of us might be prepared to endure the cross and so enter into eternal life.